ESPN special only on Under Cover Tapes.
Hey everybody, what's up? This is Al Megua, the new UCPN special, and today I'm joined by none other than Luke Stone. Wepa, how you doing, bro?
Not bad, man. How you doing? Man, what an intro. I'm going to have to bring you around with me everywhere I go, I think.
I'll be your hype man, no problem, because you got a wonderful project that we're going to start talking about in a bit. You know, but before we all do all that, Luke, man, you know, I want to first thank you for your support through the years for Comic Crusaders, because I've seen you've been a follower for a minute. So thank you for that. And I'm happy to see you out here, you know, actually producing your own wonderful product that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, Comics Crusaders have been awesome, you know, bringing some great news and spotlighting great projects and stuff like that. It's been actually been my pleasure to follow you guys. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for that. So let's get into a little bit about Lou before we get into what led into the book that you currently have on Indiegogo / Kickstarter. Where's your fandom come from? What inspired you to become, you know, a comic book creator?
Well, you know, I think it started when I was a kid. My mom and dad probably started when I was about 3 years old. Mom and dad used to go out to this place called Breakfast House. Little joint. It was a little diner that was open all night kind of thing. And they would go out with their friends. And I was about three at the time. So okay. Probably not the best parenting, you know, but in order to entertain me, they would throw me a napkin.
Kiddo,
yeah, they would throw me a napkin and some and a pen or something and let me draw, you know, and I, right. I kind of really got into that. And mid 80s, my dad brought home a comic book. You might remember this, but the old Secret Wars from the mid 1980s, 1986.
Yeah, nice. Yes.
And I fell in love with one of the covers. It was Hulk holding up the all this dirt.
Oh, the mountain.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And I was like, you know, saving all these heroes. Man, I fell in love with comic books right then and there. And it just kind of became a passion of mine. So I just started drawing comics every time I could. I learned how to try to draw it and try to copy what I was seeing and stuff like that. I remember I was 14 years old and I sent up some big old pictures of some X-Men because I was a big X-Men fan. Sent it to Marvel. Yeah, I didn't get the job, but but I tried. But maybe, so comics has just kind of stayed with me my whole life, man. I've loved it.
So wait, X-Men. What was your foray into the X-Men? Was it through the cartoon or through the comic?
It was through the comic, and I started watching the cartoon because of the comic. Yeah. So it's not like a lot of people's like kind of reversed with them. You know, they're like all about the, you know, they were about the cartoon in the '90s,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But no, man, I was, yeah. Like, yeah.
Awesome. So how that, okay. So I want to, all right. So you were a big fan of this. You started doing your thing here. How did that start leading into your path into being the creator from there?
I kind of got into music in high school, so I started kind of following that path instead of art. And
what type of music?
Just about any kind I could play, mostly rock and blues, though.
Yeah. You a Black Keys fan?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, that's my band right there, alone.
Yeah, so yeah, I started playing guitar when I was about 12 years old, so, you know, I kind of got into that, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be a rock star or something like that, but I always kind of still wanted to be into comics, and I actually wound up going into ministry. Most people know this, but some people may not. I'm a full-time pastor. That's what I do. I started out about 16 so years ago. I was in youth ministry, and then here recently, in the last 4 or 5 years, I've gone into adult ministry. So I always wanted to do a comic book. I actually got some encouragement from a pastor friend of mine. We would sit and we would talk about like different things in the Bible that were kind of weird, like it gave you kind of question. And so we started talking about this section in Genesis 6, where it talks about these creatures called the Nephilim. And we you know, I was like, hey, but did you hear about this and that? And like, we would just sit and talk about that weird stuff for hours. And one day he goes, dude, you should make that a comic book. Cause he knew I was into comics and I loved it. And he's like, you should make that a comic book. And I was like, you know, I think I'm going to. I think I will. And so that's what kind of led me into to like actually being a creator. I wanted to draw. I got some encouragement from some friends, like, you know, like you often do. Like, hey, you should do this. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of your friends, when they encourage you, they only use like the reference like, hey, you're better than everybody else I know.
Yeah.
You know, but like, so when you actually start making comic books and you realize that you're not as good as like what you need to be, yeah. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. So I've been working on it and trying to get better at actually storytelling, sequential art, and stuff like that. But that's kind of the path that got me there. I was in love with comics, wanted to do it, and I thought, man, how cool would it be to tell my own story? You know, because I think it's pretty awesome. So hopefully somebody else does too.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into that story, because you're kind of already touching upon little notes here and there about your project. So obviously I'll let you announce the name of your book.
Yeah, it's called Hybrids, The Sons of Gods. We are releasing issue 4 late this month. So we're pretty excited about it.
So every issue, have you done this crowdfunded? How have you released the issues?
I have not crowdfunded every issue. We started out, actually, this was on a different company a few years back, issue 1 released under that one. And I was actually doing another book that a writer had done. I didn't really consider myself a writer. I thought I was just a kind of an artist.
Yeah.
But I had this story, this idea that I'd been working on, and we needed another title to come out at, you know, to kind of fill a gap.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I got this one thing I'm working on, and I kind of told the guys about it, and they said, you got to make that. And nice. So I wound up doing kind of like a first issue, kind of one-off thing, just to kind of see how it would be received.
Okay.
And it got funded. That was my first one that was my first for this title. And it got funded, and so I put it out. We wound up selling about 300-400 copies of that book, which for me was like, I'm like, that's insane. You know, by the time it was all said and done, well, we had decided, you know, let's go ahead and put out a second issue. But by that time, you know, the company was closing. And so like we had some stuff come up, and we had a little short kind of run there. So I just thought I was done. And then this guy named Joe Spicer got a hold of me from Starcross Comics, and he said, "Dude, I want to re-release your book. You've got more." I said, "Well, I've got one done, and 2 is finished, but it's not released." And so in 2018, we re-released issue 1, and then we released issue 2, you know, to see how those things would go. And then this, you know, so it's done well. So we started with issue 3, crowdfunding it. A couple months ago, and then that release, everything is like ready to go before we crowdfund. Like it's ready to go. So it's
gotcha. So are they being released still under the Starcross banner?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're 20 years deep, apparently, correct? Within in the market, just about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. I mean, I ran into another independent creator in New York last year. I missed him this year at New York Comic Con. Because he was busy trying to learn his Kickstarter tricks, of course.
Yeah.
But the Unstoppable Comics, he's been in business for 11 years. So it's nice to see that small press labels like that, you know, could stand, you know, past that 5-year phase and succeed.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that Starcross and you landed someplace. So give us a little synopsis of what Hybrids is.
Well, okay, so I got thinking, you know, I had these conversations I used to have with this old pastor friend of mine, and he would, we would start to talk about how the Nephilim, you know, all the stories that are out there. There's this book called The Book of Enoch, and it has a lot of stories about these Nephilim and these people called the Watchers and stuff. And so, as I was starting to study,
this is in the Bible.
This is in the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. Yeah, like right there, like it talks about in Genesis chapter 6. Like okay. It says the angels came down, or the sons of God came down and saw the ladies. They liked them, and they started having babies. And it says these babies are like the kind of like these are the men of renown, or in some translations, like these are like the heroic men of the day. Things like that is what it would say. And so another book, the Book of Enoch, talks a lot about it. And there's a lot of different lore about them. And it turns out that like some of these stories predate the Greek gods by about 1500 years.
Wow.
And now, yeah, I was surprised by that too. But I mean, people are smart. People smarter than me say it, so I'm gonna believe them. I'm gonna trust them on that one.
Yeah.
I wasn't there and all. But they think that the Greek gods might have actually been inspired by the Nephilim. you know, like, so like there might have been like a Zeus character, but they just kind of embellished a bit or something like that. So I got thinking, you know, what if there's ancestors of these Nephilim walking around today? You know, and that was like, what if, you know, like, you know, they didn't stop reproducing, you know, so it's like great, 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 great granddaddy was an angel or something like that. So what if like this angelic DNA just kind of like went down through all of these generations, but kind of lay dormant in our bodies? And what if something happened to wake it up? You know, so instead of like having a recessive trait that would give you red hair or blue eyes, what if you had a recessive trait that would give you the power to lift the buildings or like teleport or control people with your mind or stuff like that? So that's kind of what we started thinking, and that started become the premise of the story. But I didn't want it to just be a story about people that had superpowers. I wanted it to be a story that had some depth and some range to it. Yeah. And so what we started to think, what we've developed in the story. So instead of just people having powers, as soon as the people develop these powers, they start to vanish. Not the powers, but the people. So they start vanishing. We actually follow the story follows a small group of heroes that's trying to find out who's taking them, where are they taking them, and why are they taking them. So that's kind of what the first arc of the story, the first five issues of the first arc of the story. And so that story will be told by the end of this year. Yeah, so we'll have the last issue out in November, December. So,
And this first arc is how long?
Five issues.
Yeah. And the opening arc here, we were introduced to a character immediately. Trash Man.
Yeah. Everybody loves Trash Man.
that dude is Diesel, like Hulk. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who inspired him? Did anyone inspire him in your life?
Geez, you know,
it's speaking, or it's just, you know, just this is my fantasy hero. This is what I want to be. Is it you? Yeah. Are you Trash Man?
It might be. So here's the thing. All my characters are a conglomeration of people that I know. So part me, part somebody else, part maybe someone that I wish I knew, or things like that. So I think there's a part of my personality that is Trash Man, but he's also a part of some other people that I've met. I knew this one guy he's like 6'10" and kind of awkward, but he's like real gentle, but he's like super strong. Gotcha. And so he really inspired a lot of like kind of this character a little bit. And the fun thing is the character really got developed over the course of a period of time. There was this old role-playing game called GURPS, Generic Universal Role-Playing, and they had a supers campaign. And so we would go over, me and my friends, we get together and order a bunch of pizzas and drink a bunch of Mountain Dew and just sit around and like play this game, right? And so he's one of the characters that I built, and so he kind of got developed through a stupid role-playing game, man. We had a blast with it, but it was so cool, you know. And so some of the characters kind of got developed that way, and then the story just kind of started to evolve over time, and I started to think about it, you know. And so that's kind of, and I thought, man, how cool would it be to start the story from this guy's point of view?
I get it. I mean, listen, the name of Al Mega, actually, its roots started in the Xbox game Rock Band.
That's awesome.
That's where the roots of the name. I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm sticking with this. People were loving it. So right now you currently have the project on Indiegogo and Kickstarter.
Yes, doing them both.
All right, as an independent creator, let's get into that a little bit. You know, how is this process for you in crowdfunding? Are you comfortable with it? How do you feel? Do you think it's positive? I mean, what are your overall feelings towards it, and any advice you could even give creators in their next projects, you know, things to maybe avoid?
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's incredibly arduous. It's exhausting. See, the thing with independent creators, when you are like, for me, I'm the writer, the artist, and the letterer, right? So when I'm in like creating mode, like I've got to be in writing mode when I'm in writing mode. It's hard to be in writing and art mode at the same time. When I'm in art mode, I'm in art mode. When I'm in lettering and pre-press, that's the mode I'm in. But then I'm also my marketing guy, and I run my Kickstarters and I run my Indiegogos. And so when I'm doing marketing, I'm not creating. And when I'm creating, I'm not doing marketing and stuff like that. So it can get rather exhausting, especially with the longer campaigns. And it's a great way to get in front of the fans, like, you know, and get in front of people that want to support the comic. Especially as an indie, it's hard to get into stores. a lot of stores aren't going to order your book unless you're in
Diamond. Yeah. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah. And it's so hard to get, it's not necessarily hard to get in there, but it's hard to stay in there and to be heard in that, you know, cause I mean, it's such a thick book. I had my local comic book shop hand me previews and say, "Hey, look through that. Let me know if there's anything you want me to order." I'm like, dude, it's
a Bible. Yeah.
It's thicker than the Bible. It's thicker than the Bible. I'm like, I'll tell you what, let me just read every word of this. And then I'll go ahead and let you know in a week what I want to order. I'm like, it's incredibly impossible, you know? And so it's kind of difficult, but with Kickstarter and Indiegogo, that allows you to do that. And so, it is an exhausting process, but it is good because it gives us a chance to get in front of the fans and get an opportunity to get some books in their hands and things. So
yeah, there's some creators out there, some publishers rather, that are starting to hit the direct market, just meaning that they're bypassing and actually having success, you know, bypassing the Diamond and having, you know, direct comic shop interest. I mean, you know, this being an era of creator-owned projects, you know, an era of indie. I mean, I know indie's been kicking around, you know, forever, you know what I mean? But it's really gained more momentum just in most recent years. People are really noticing, you know, what independent can really bring to the table, I think. And well, I think it's due time.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's the ability for people to be able to print on demand, so not have to do like these huge print runs.
There's less risk.
Yeah, there's less risk. The technology is better. You can collaborate with people further away so you can create a better product and faster. It's just like with the music industry. You know, right now, indie's, you know, it's got a really good foothold. And I think it's, you know, the same is true with comic books. You know, at Starcross, we're looking at doing a direct distribution process where we're actually going to offer a 40% discount off of the cover price to the stores that want to buy.
When you guys are ready, I have several stores local to me. I mean, several. Yeah, I'm in a pretty good spot.
Sweet, man.
I won't run out of comic books anytime soon, let's say. A lot of spots right here. Just let me know. I'll send them the information, please.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're working on getting all that stuff out probably November, December, so we can start taking orders for next year. And I mean, it's we're pretty excited about it. We've gotten a lot of great feedback about it. And I think that, you know, now is a good time, you know, especially, you know, with some of the print options that we have, we can get a really good product and still be able to offer a really good discount and make some money off of it. So yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
That's what matters, so long as the creators get some change there as opposed to other platforms where I see you guys really get just change.
Yeah, well, you know, but the thing is, I you know, to kind of go back to the crowdfunding, I like the crowdfunding, but it really kind of omits the local comic shop. And for me, like, that's like the breeding ground for comic fandom. And so we don't want to leave them out of the equation. So I would much rather sell through them.
I'm sure you don't want to do that, but unfortunately, when they don't want to listen at first about the value of your book, then you got to prove it otherwise. And, you know, I guess that crowdfunding is a good platform to prove yourself and to the market, hey, I have a product that is successful. Yeah. Maybe you should reconsider carrying this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Come on now. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe using it in that vein, you know what I mean, probably be a good marketing approach. Hey, it's a successful product here. Why wouldn't it be successful in your shop? I mean, but they also got to help. I mean, you got to help the shop too, or rather they got to help the book. I mean, it's a two-way avenue. There's, you know, you guys got to help each other with marketing. I mean, that's something that's lacking in the comic book industry. I don't see comic book commercials. I mean, late at night, I've caught a DC commercial. But late at night, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe that's the only spot they can afford.
Come on, WB. You could do better than
that. Yeah, they could do better than that. Come on, you're DC for crying out loud. Home of Batman. No,
but don't you agree that maybe if there was a better effort, maybe in marketing, hey, these comics exist, you know what I mean? Not just with the big two, but at least maybe comic shops do something, you know.
Absolutely. You know, and I've started to see a bit of movement with this where indies are starting to promote the local comic shops that partner with them inside of the books. And that's something that we plan on doing, like doing affiliate pages and comic shops. The majority of their money comes from the big two, you know, but I think that, you know, because the manner of how the big two works you're not going to see a lot of fresh ideas and new IP coming out or intellectual properties coming out from those guys, because they really can't look at anything that you've got without running the risk of maybe getting sued if they have something else that's already in the works that might be similar to what you're doing. And absolutely, so many things are similar. I just talked to a guy who's an indie, you know, that I'm trying to help him kind of develop a story. And he said, oh, well, this is kind of my plot. And I go, I happen to know that there's a book being worked on right now that has the exact same plot. So, so you might want to like, let's work on trying to adjust that so it has some freshness to it, you know, and something new. And so, you know, he was super open to that, you know, which is kind of cool, where a lot of people aren't. But, you know, so if something's happened like that with them, you know, they might be like, hey, we've already got something like that. But then I could say, hey, they put that out after they talked to me. They stole my idea. I could sue them. Yeah. So really the breeding ground for this fresh ideas and the cool stuff that's out there is really happening in the indie groups. And a lot of these artists and writers are wanting to own their material. And so that's super awesome. And you see like some people being really successful with that on crowdfunding, whether it be, Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and they're really successful with that. But I think me personally, and some of the guys at Starcross, we really want to be in the stores because we want that symbiotic relationship. We want, obviously we want to make some money, but we want fans to get our books. And then likewise, we want the stores to benefit from having, you know, this material in there. So that's kind of,
you have a foot soldier in me if need be for Starcross. All right. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And besides your title, that, you know, you want to talk about Starcross, who else is within your Starcross family of titles?
Man, we got a few of us. So Joe Spicer started the company like 20 years ago, and he's got a character that he's been working on. And so he's got a book called GOD, Global Order. Man, he's going to kill me because I can't remember the title.
So it's the GOD.
And so and we're getting ready to do a team up with Trash Man and his character, Starstruck. So we're actually, that script is done and it's going off to our layout artist. And I'm going to be drawing that one soon. Then we've got a guy named Bill Ropp, and he does Tribulation Task Force.
Yeah.
Bill, he's a good guy. And so he's got Tribulation Task Force. And so he's in there, and he's also tied into our world a little bit there. And then we got a guy named Ken Keller, who's doing a book called Red Talon, who's really cool. And again, he's tied into our world. And then we've got Kerry King is doing a book over there. So we have Phantom Lion. We've got a book called Killer of Kings, which is absolutely amazing. It's like pre flood times, like,
yeah,
early like in world history. And okay, it's about this dude that's like all these kingdoms and these evil kings, and he's taking them out, man. And it's I really love
that kind of stuff. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And so we got a whole bunch of stuff going on there. There's 16 different creators, and I don't even know that I've met them all yet. So
wow,
yeah.
So the Starcross stable is 16 right now. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Five or six of us are connected, and some of us aren't. Like this awesome guy named AJ Cade's got a story that's pretty epic, but it's pretty cool.
The shared universe, is it something on purpose that you guys planned on happening?
Yeah, actually, it was something that Joe brought up before, which really kind of got me back into wanting to start doing the comics as hard as I'm doing it, like monthly releases.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I had this idea. What if we had certain elements of our stories that overlapped? And so we have, there's a lot of work that has to go into that. Because, absolutely, you know, there's egos and there's intellectual property that has to be protected. And so we had to strip egos, like pride had to go away. And we have agreed on allowing each character the first thing we had to do was say, okay, these elements are going to be universal for all of the stories. So a little bit of something that I have is in everybody's book, and a little bit of something that Bill has is in everybody's book, and a little something that, you know, so all these guys, we allow one piece of our creation to be shared with everybody, without kind of prejudice or without kind of any kind of recognition for it. The other thing that we do is we have agreements for, okay, well, this character can be used in your book for this amount of time, and you know, here's how the money will be split and things like. So we have to work out all those weird things. But
wow, tedious is that process?
Yeah, it's pretty tedious, man. It's like it's hard to do, but we know the outcome is going to be worth it. So I'm writing a story next. I'm writing a story next that's going to be released next year called Armageddon Watch, which is they're trying to stop the end of the world, right? And it includes characters from everybody else's universe. And so it's a team of like all these other kind of things. And we're also doing a book called Biblical Proportions, which is it's Biblical Proportions, man. I mean, it's huge. And Joe's writing that one. And Joe's writing that one. And it's massive. But so like when we start seeing the art coming in, we start seeing the concept stuff coming in, we're like, this is worth it. We just need to figure out how to make this work, and we need to compromise to make it happen. You know, we realize we stand the chance to create something better for the fans together, and possibly even make more money ourselves if we work together on this stuff.
And do they all have the underlying religious themes in them?
No, not all of them. Okay. Now, there's a lot of Christians at Starcross Comics, but it's not necessarily a Christian company. There's some people that aren't Christians that are a part of it. Okay. And not every book is Christian. Like, my book's not a Christian book. It just has a religious theme to it.
I see you, because, you know, there was a couple of unwritten bombs almost thrown out there. Mother F!
Well, I figure, you know, let's be honest, you know, I've driven with some Christians in traffic and heard them say some things they didn't mean to say in front of their pastor. You know, I mean, real conversation takes place among real people. You know, I don't want to whitewash the story. I want the story to, it is definitely written from a Christian worldview. And it's written from the, you know, as a pastor, I get a chance to spend a lot of time with a lot of people, and most of them, believe it or not, aren't believers. They're not Christians.
Yeah.
But they're coming and they're asking for help, or they're, you know, I get a chance to get to know people and of what they're going through. And I want to create a story that is, number one, entertaining for everybody, and number two, allows people the opportunity and the freedom to discuss topics that they wouldn't normally get to discuss with people that they wouldn't normally discuss them with. And so that's what I try to do in the book. So it's not a Christian book, but it's written from a Christian worldview, but it's to the point to trying to get people to realize what they've got in common more than what they've got separate.
Absolutely. And, man.
Yeah. And if at all possible, encourage us all to leave the wood pile a little higher than we found it.
Yeah, know? Man. I get it. Absolutely, man. That preach, bro. Preach.
As a matter of fact, I'm pretty good at that. That's what I do.
Yeah, man. But you stayed in the truth. I mean, again, I was at New York Comic Con this past weekend. Now, if you look at sometimes the social medias, right, you see so much horrible things going on, right? But you go to a show like New York Comic Con, my dude, everybody's just celebrating and loving each other's fandom. Not just the one fandom, but each other's and celebrating. Oh, you look great. Oh, that's cool. Oh, where did you get this? You know what I mean? It was all love. It's like, damn, you know, the social hate got to stop. If everything could be like this show, everybody just celebrates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just enjoy what you enjoy. It's okay. If I don't like it, it's okay if you do. You know what I mean? Convince me. Why it's good? Maybe I'll give it a shot. You know what I mean? But I'm not gonna hate you for loving it. I mean, that really, you know what I mean? It's crazy for me.
Yeah, I like get that. And you know, Twitter's like a cesspool of negativity. You know, every time I go on there, I'm like shaking my head, slapping my forehead. I'm like, what are you doing, guys? You know, it's almost sad. You know, when you know it is not almost. It is sad. It's sad when you see this stuff happening because it detracts from the creation, so that you're not really getting stuff out there to the fans. Yeah. There's a group of people that really want to kind of like not be on like this extreme right or extreme left. They're like, hey, let's get together and celebrate each other's thing and just do your thing. And like, you know, stop being so sensitive about it and let's celebrate what we do. You know, everyone should be represented. Everything should be represented. And let's just make a comic. Right. Like, what happened about making comics fun? You know, like they used to be, one of the things I always loved about comics was that I could sit down with someone that didn't believe or look or act or think like me. And we could still connect over a superhero.
Absolutely.
You know, we could still connect over a storyline that we're reading because we both like it, you know. And I want to get back to there. And so I'll even put a little plug in for these guys. Rob Anderson, the Indie Advocates, he's working hard to try to create that kind of environment. Travis Gibb, is also working with that. And so there's some guys out there and some gals out there that are working really hard to just like, hey, let's stop the negativity. Let's just be positive. Let's, you know, kind of let's sit down and sing Kumbaya for a second, you know, and, and just make some comic books and, have some
fun. The way I've said in my world is just chill out, everybody smoke a blunt and let's read some books. You know what I mean? Let's hang
there
out.
There you go, yeah.
It's fun times. There's a lot of great stuff out there. You know, again, yeah. You know, if you don't like what you know, everybody, there's something. It is. It's got to just stop. And just, it's okay. Again, if you like something different, I don't care. Personally, I love when people try to get at me for the stuff that I enjoy sometimes. Why can't I enjoy it? What's wrong with it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have to like everything you do, and you don't have to like everything I do. I do want you to like Hybrids, the Sons of Gods.
But you know what, though? I think people will, though, because it's a great story. And as you were saying, how you're working on your sequentials, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you that I see amazing progression from the first to the third issue. So now I'm totally looking forward to see how much more you even grew with the fourth.
Yeah, the fourth is definitely the best art yet. And wait till you see the fifth. It's like I'm actually almost fooling myself that I'm not an imposter drawing this thing. I'm like, hey, maybe I'm finally getting to where I want to. This will be like my 10th or 11th issue that I've drawn, you know. Okay. So each one keeps getting better when it comes to like
the sequences. You're only going to get better, brother. You're only going to get better. I've seen artist examples when they said, look at me 5 years ago. They look like stick figures. And now they're drawing looking like Jim Lee. It's like, oh, my God, what the hell? Awesome. You know, bless. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe gives me a chance. Like, all right, maybe if I started now by 60, I'll be all right.
I still practice. Like, I'll go back and like practice rudimentary stuff because I'm like, I got to get, you know, it's like, I'll notice that I'll get, yeah. I'll see someone like, man, I could do better at that. So I'll go back and I'll practice that and get better at it. So, yeah.
Again, the growth is seen. So let's talk about that campaigns right now. Okay. So,
yeah.
For Indiegogo, how much more we got on that and where are you at with that one?
Well, with my Indiegogo, I am pretty close. So I like Indiegogo because of the flex goals.
What do you mean flex goals? Explain.
All right, so what happens with the Kickstarter is it's a fixed goal. So if you don't make your goal, you don't get the money. So you've got to get funding or you don't get it. But with you have an option to do that with Indiegogo, but you also have an option for flex goals. And that means that no matter what I get, I don't have to have that amount in order to fund this project. The project's going to go out anyway. But so I get to keep whatever I get.
Okay.
Minus fees and stuff like that. So, so that's kind of, you know, so I like it for that reason, because it's super good for a guy like me who the work is done. I've already paid my colorist, all of the world files there. I just need printing money. Yeah. And I'm going to print it no matter what, you know, so it's going to go out there. So this kind of helps as like pre-order and distribution and things like that. It also gives me an opportunity to be able to sell some special things to the fans. Like with my Indiegogo, I had available a one of one action figure that I had made years ago.
Nice.
Yeah. And so like my super fan, Jose Hernandez, man, he was like, you got that? And I'm like, I got, yeah. And so he went over and he picked that up, you know. And so he
that's
got
the one you were telling me when we initially spoke that you were brokenhearted to part with.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's kind of tough, you know, when, you know, you've kind of, this thing's been sitting in my office for, I had it made in 2016. Wow. So it's been sitting there for a minute. And
My listeners here, guys, if you see, I almost feel like posting the video now because he's getting teary-eyed here.
No, but I'm happy it's going to who it's going to, you know. And this guy, you know,
shout out to your super fan, bro. You said Jose.
Jose.
Grandpa Jose. There you go, bro. Awesome stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, he just has supported kind of everything I've done. But right now on our Indiegogo, we have 7 days left. So it's just like a week.
Where are we at, though, with the 7 days left?
We're at I'm $99 away from funding it.
Oh, my God. So immediately proceeding our podcast here, I'll do a quick social share for you. And let's get you that much closer. And, you know, by the time this comes out, hopefully you'll be funded. You know what I mean? If oh, yeah. not, you know, you said how much longer again?
7 days.
7 days? This is coming out tomorrow. So, folks, by the time that this podcast drops, there's still 6 days left.
Yeah.
So you better kick some ass and help this happen because it's an amazing project. You got to see where this is going. It's pretty cool. Now, let's go back now a bit and talk about the Kickstarter. So you did the Migo, you got a week left, right?
Yeah.
Why the Kickstarter? And what? How much time on that one?
All right. Well, I do a Kickstarter because some people just won't use Indiegogo. You know, even though Indiegogo is really good for me as a creator, there's a certain element. We're not going to mention their names because we don't want to give them press. that turns people away from that particular platform. And so, in order to kind of reach all sides of like all the, because I appeal to everybody, really. You know, I try to anyway. I have to go with Kickstarter for, you know, to get some of those other backers that I, you know, that I need.
Yeah.
And so, I normally do
it. That a good platform got to be subjugated to that. That's horrible.
It is. It really is. And, you know, so I use both. I know a lot of guys that use both. Like we'll do like, and we'll run them not necessarily at the same time, but like we'll stagger them. Like, so I ran Indiegogo for a few weeks.
Okay.
You know, and then now I just launched for a 15-day campaign.
Okay.
That will overlap the Indiegogo from Kickstarter.
By how long?
And so,
by a week?
Seven. 7 days. 7 days, yeah.
Okay.
So a week after the Indiegogo is over, the Kickstarter will be done. And that way, that just kind of gives me a chance in case anyone wanted to do the Indiegogo and couldn't. I can shoot them over like, hey, I've still got a week left over here on this one. You can go ahead and get the same perks and everything are all available for both of them with the exception of the one of ones. And so some of them have a, you know, they don't have the same one of ones. So it's like, if it's like an art piece of art, like Indiegogo's got one of them and Kickstarter's got another one. So there's some appeal to it, you know, for different fans. That's been, maybe like a day and a half. And so we still have like 13 days to go on that one. And it's only like a $300 like goal because it's just to help cover some extra print because I have to do a reprint. We completely sold out of issue one.
Nice.
And so I have to do a reprint for issue one. And so this is going to help cover that. That way it's not all coming out of pocket. And we're already just at like under $100. So we're doing pretty good. Almost a third of the way.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You see, people know what hybrids is all about. Fantastic. I'm happy that they appreciate that. And I'm pretty sure you will achieve the goal. As soon as this is done, I'm going to do social share for the indie, you know what I mean, and go from there. And then after that, I'll share stuff for your Kickstarter. You know, Luke, man, you got something here. So let folks know, you know, again, what's the actual website that they can find you? What is your social media that they can follow you and stay up to date on everything that is Luke Stone Studios and Hybrids?
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter, at Luke Stone Studio without the S on the end because it can't be that long. So Luke Stone Studio. you can go to LukeStoneStudios.com. And so a lot of my links are there. You can find my social media stuff from there. And then also you can go to StarCrossComics.com. And you can find out information about the other characters, about the other books, and you can get a hold of Hybrids and stuff and buy it through there. And some of these other books too because they're kind of all connected in this new universe. And so it's pretty neat. And then I'm on Facebook, Luke Stone Studios, and
with an S.
With an S. Then I'm on I'm on Instagram, Luke the Destroyer on Instagram. You can follow me there.
Awesome. There we are. And before we go, just, you know, what would you say as an independent creator? Just a word of advice, so you know, indie creators out there. You know,
foster good relationships with people. I think that's really the biggest thing, creating a network of people that, that you do right by and they do right by you helping each other. You know, if you've got an artist, you make sure you're paying your artist. If you've got, you know, keep a good relationship, you know, be honest and work hard for that integrity and that character. Cause that will go a long way. Absolutely goes a long way. I won't back anyone that I don't think has character integrity.
There you go, folks. You know, so keep it real, everybody.
Yeah.
Stop the bullshit.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll say it if you want. It's all good.
You'll have to, because I can't. No.
Yo, so with that, I'm Al Mega with the incredibly talented Luke Ross. I want to thank you guys for listening. Please make sure to check out Hybrids. I'm going to click the links below our podcast to support the project, whether it's on Indiegogo or Kickstarter, and follow Luke Ross everywhere he at. Because, you know, Luke Stone. Stone, jeez.
I don't know who Luke Ross is, but I'm going to check him out now.
Yeah, that's another creator. Yeah, man. Luke Stone, absolutely. Yeah, follow him everywhere. He's the man. He got some stuff popping in the world, and I really see a very bright future for you, bro. It's a real business. So with that, we out, man. Thank you for listening to another UCPN special.
This is an Undercover Capes production.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com, GeekreviewMagazine.com, and our newest venture, SplinteredPress.com.